This morning I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he has taken them up to heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Well, a few years ago, I went and saw that movie Interstellar. Did anybody see Interstellar? That is a weird movie. I got out of that Matthew McConaughey can reappear through a bookshelf. That's kind of what I got out of that movie. That was one of those where the ending was strange, hard to understand. You read it. You read the explanation online and you go, "I still don't get this thing." The one that kept coming up again and again when I looked online for unsatisfying endings for movies is 2001, Space Odyssey. Where does the bubble baby come from anyway, right? I didn't get the middle or the beginning of that one, so, you know, I'm kind of in bad shape. I looked early this morning and saw the Spurs last night, and I was going to say, you know, that's a bad ending. What I'm really wanting to talk about, though, is not bad endings, but unsatisfying endings or confusing endings. And then Brandon told me the Spurs strategy at the end of the game, and that is an unsatisfying and confusing ending. So that happens to us sometimes, and the reason I mention it is because you may feel unsatisfied about the ending of the Gospel of Mark. Could you just click on the Prezi, please, and I think it'll start running for us. Thank you. How the Gospel of Mark ends, there's some uncertainty about the ending of the Gospel of Mark. And as best I can tell, there are about three groups of people who understand the ending in three different ways. There's a group of people who for a long time have viewed that section that Buck just read 16:9 through 20 as the original ending. That ending has been printed in English Bibles for over 400 years. If you happen to use the King James Bible, you would read that and you wouldn't think anything of it. You know, it was just right there in the Bible. However, if you read just about any other version, you'll find a footnote or some brackets or something that tells you something to the effect of the earliest manuscripts do not contain that section. I checked 17 versions this week, and the King James and one other didn't have any note. 15 other versions had a note, including the New King James and the American Standard and the New American Standard and the Revised Standard and the New Revised Standard and the English Standard and the NIV. I mean, version after version after version has a note that says, in essence, that's probably not how Mark probably didn't write that. the best manuscripts we have don't contain that. Now, if that's unsettling to you, please come catch me afterward. I don't want to give an overly technical explanation of that right now, but there's good reason for thinking that Mark himself probably didn't write that section. Most scholars today believe that those verses were compiled from the other three Gospels and were added to the Gospel of Mark early in the second century. If you stop at verse 8, the ending is not entirely satisfying. There's no resurrection appearances. Again, without getting technical, that makes the book end with the Greek word for. And the last time I looked it up, there wasn't a single Greek work in all of history that ends with the word for, as would be required there. So what most scholars think is some well-intentioned believer drew from the other three Gospels and composed what we might call an appendix to the Gospel of Mark. Whether he should have done that or not, we'll talk about that another time maybe. But you know, the interesting thing is, when you read that section, just about everything in there is found elsewhere in the Gospels or somewhere in Scripture. Now, I couldn't find the drinking deadly poison anywhere. And technically, Paul didn't pick up that snake that bit him, but he did get bitten with a snake and survived it. So I don't know that I'd want to make a big point out of something that is stated only in this section if it's not original to Mark's gospel. But you know, the two themes that are most emphasized in this section are emphasized elsewhere in Scripture too. And so instead of just having a lecture on endings to the gospel, I think it's worth highlighting two of the themes that are mentioned in this appendix that are taught very clearly elsewhere in the Scriptures. One of those themes is the disciples didn't believe. We saw that in Mark countless times. Faith is really, really important to God and to Jesus. He really, really wants us to trust Him. And He rebuked them for their lack of faith here, and He rebuked them in Luke as well. The writer to Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So this appendix mentions the lack of faith and therefore the importance of faith. And that's something that we read in the Scriptures a lot. I think that's worth mentioning. I also think there's a big emphasis in this section on the need for us to tell the good news about Jesus. The way it's worded here in this appendix is, go into all the world and proclaim the good news about Jesus. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. I think that's true and right. That's taught elsewhere in Scripture. This good news about Jesus is to be communicated to the whole world. And people need to respond to it in faith and baptism in order to be saved. We do need to be telling that message. And Mark also emphasizes, the appendix to Mark, that's something that's to be done by God's power. And that's taught in Scripture as well. Telling the good news is not something that we just do on our own, all by ourselves. God works in us and among us and through us to accomplish His mission. It's His mission, not our mission. Now, when I read through some of those things that are listed here in this appendix, you know, the speaking in other tongues and the snakes and the poison and some of those things, most of those are mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. Not all of them, but most of them are mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. And I do believe that God enabled those people to do miraculous things to bolster the message as they told it. I have some uncertainty about whether he still does that today. I frankly don't know. I've seen some stuff that I'm pretty sure that wasn't God working. And I don't think the solution is to try to stretch stuff and make it look like it's the same kind of thing if it's not. But on the other hand, I don't want to be one to tell God what he will and will not do. And if God wants to do some of those things, he does not have to run it by me, okay? So I'm not going to go out on that limb. The way I figure this out in my head practically is that there are some other kinds of things that are maybe not miraculous, but very impressive that I know for sure we're supposed to be doing to bolster the credibility of the good news about Jesus. And those are love and unity. Jesus said, by this they'll all know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And Jesus prayed that we might be one so that they would know that the Father sent the Son. Unity and love are impressive. And if you can pull that off, it's an indication that God is at work among you. That will be impressive to people. Now, as soon as I say that, I got to say we got work to do to make sure that we are a loving and unified body of believers, telling the good news about Jesus and bolstering it with unity and love. So those things are the main themes I see in that section. And even though I don't think Mark wrote that section, I do see those themes elsewhere in Scripture. So I think they are worth mentioning. But for the people who say, no, that really is not the original ending, what is the original ending? Well, there's another group of folks that say, we don't have the original ending. They would say, yeah, verse 8 makes a pretty bad ending. You know, it's kind of what they would say. And maybe Mark intended to write more, but he was prevented from doing so. Or I hear this a lot, and I read this a lot among scholars, that maybe he did write more, but the last page of his book got torn off and lost. And so we just don't know what the ending is. And I don't know. Maybe that's what happened. There's no way of knowing that either. And I'm sorry, I know that's not very satisfying, but that's what some folks say. And so today a whole lot of scholars are saying that Mark deliberately ended his book with verse 8. Satisfying or not, that's the way Mark ended it. One of the reasons people tend to say that didn't happen is because that would mean the gospel ends on a note of fear. The women fled from the tomb in fear and didn't say anything to anyone, or they didn't say anything to anyone because they were afraid. Well, some of these scholars say maybe that was holy fear. Maybe that was reverence instead of fear. And that could be. And these scholars will also say things like, well, maybe Mark did it very deliberately, kind of to see, what are you going to do with this? How are you going to continue this story of Jesus? And I know you're waiting for the big announcement, but I don't know. I don't know how it ended. And that's not very satisfying to me. And I feel like you want to know, and I feel like I ought to be able to give you an answer, but I also feel like I ought to be pretty certain if I'm going to give you an answer, and I'm just not sure. So even though that may bug us and may be unsatisfying, let me give you a practical way of thinking about it that maybe will be satisfying and maybe will be challenging as well. And that is, in a sense, each of us is writing an ending to Mark's gospel. And some of the scholars think Mark did this purposely, kind of to make this point. And I think it's a good point if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying let's have a contest. Who can write the best ending to Mark? And we'll start publishing that in the Bibles. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying, hey, make your own ending. Make it turn out however you want. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I am firmly convinced that Mark 1:1 through 16:8 is the Word of God, and that it was given to us not for just historical interest or not to have something to do at church. It was given to us to change our lives. And you don't really write with the giant crayon. You really write with your actions and your attitudes and your words. And I think a good way to think about this is that God is drawing us into His story. He's at work. He's been doing things in the world. And we've read about it. We've read about this amazing thing He did in the person of Jesus. And now we've become a part of the story. And whether we live according to the story can be a good ending to the gospel for us. Next Sunday, I intend to do the last sermon on Mark. Summarize the whole gospel. After 4.5 short years, I expect reporters to be here. The week after that, I'm going to start a 10-year series on Isaiah. Just kidding. No, next week I'm going to try to summarize key themes in Mark, and that'd be worth thinking about in this light of how is that being written in your life? How are you ending the gospel based on everything Mark has said? But for today, I'm going to limit myself to the two things that were mentioned in the appendix as well as elsewhere in Scripture, and that is faith. Is faith a part of the gospel you are writing with your life? Are there things in your life that indicate you really trust God and Jesus? Or are there things in your life that indicate you don't? Because it is crystal clear that He wants us to trust Him. And there's a few of you knuckleheads out there like me that need to be reminded, no, not just agree that we ought to trust, but actually to trust. Is that a part of the ending you're writing? And then that other thing about telling the good news and bolstering the truthfulness of the good news by our unity and by our love. Are you looking for ways to tell other people about Jesus? Are you looking for ways to support our efforts here to tell other people about Jesus? And are you looking for ways to bolster the message in your unity and love with all your brothers and sisters here? That needs to be a part of how we are continuing the story of the gospel in our lives. So this morning, you may want to talk to somebody or pray with somebody about some of those kind of things, or maybe about other kind of things going on in your life. I feel like, kind of in keeping with the song that we're going to see, that there's so many ways in which we are hurt and broken, and it's so tempting to try to cover all that up and make people think we're better than we really are. Hey, we know better, you know, because we're the same. So if you want to talk or pray with one of our shepherds and their wives about some of your brokenness, you can do that as well. One of the times you can catch folks is right now while we sing this song. They'll be at the back of the building.